The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Now, my next guest, I'm very excited to say, has brought a shillelagh into the studio, which we will get to in just a moment. But Gene Kelly remains one of the most legendary figures from Hollywood's golden age. Gene's widow and biographer, Patricia Ward, met the then 73-year-old icon when she was just 26, and through a shared love of literature, they embarked on a romance that could itself have been written in the stars. Now, Patricia's here in Dublin to present Gene Kelly, A Life in Music, alongside the RTE National Symphony Orchestra this Friday night. It's going to be incredible, I think. And Patricia is here now in the studio to share your favourite memories of Gene. And tell me, first of all, then, Patricia, about the shillelagh. Where did that come from?
Well, I had to bring this along. Gene always kept a shillelagh. He kept several of them in the house, but this was beside our bed. Most people in Beverly Hills had a gun, but Gene kept a shillelagh. I think he thought that was the best defense.
So. Because Gene, of course, so tell us about his Irish heritage.
Well, it was interesting because it was very hard to prove that Gene Kelly was Irish. His family had, I think, kind of hidden the roots, because at that point the Irish were pretty low on the totem pole. And so I had to do a little digging to get his Irish citizenship at the end of his life. But I finally found a census that his grandfather had immigrated from Ireland, and we got it. And
incredible.
Gene was so proud that I remember, I'll never forget that day when the Gaelic citizenship papers arrived and his Irish passport. He was deeply proud of his Irish roots. And he said it was really in the core of his being. And I think the poetry, the literature, the music, the dance, it was really the essence of him.
He wasn't just a dancer, was he? I mean, you know, when we think and we picture Gene Kelly and we picture Singing in the Rain and these iconic kind of, you know, black and white and then colour movies, but he wasn't just a dancer. He was much more than that, wasn't he?
No, and interestingly, he actually preferred to be behind the camera rather than in front. He wanted to choreograph and direct. And one of the things, reasons I created this show that everyone will see on Friday was I had the great opportunity. Gene brought me out to California to write his story, and I was supposed to come for about 2 weeks, and we ended up getting married 5 years into that process.
As you do.
And I recorded him every day for nearly 10 years, which most wives don't do. I ask people, and they say, I said, you write down everything your husband says? And they said, oh, are you kidding? But that was my job. And one of the things, I always think of music when I think of Gene. A lot of people think of dance, but I think of music because he used to sing to me at night. That was the way that he would reveal some of the deepest parts, most intimate parts of his life. And so I thought I wanted to share that with people and have this live orchestra, the brilliant RTE National Symphony Orchestra, live on stage and have Gene up on this screen. And it's a very strange kind of thing, but it's almost like Gene is performing live, because we have excised his voice and his taps. And so he's very clearly there.
Wow.
And then the music is played live. And then I'm on stage just weaving these stories that he shared with me.
That's going to be incredible. Take me back a little bit to, I suppose, your own background, Patricia, because you were very young. I mentioned the age gap there. You were very young when you met Gene. What were you working as, and what were you doing when you met him?
Well, it's almost an unbelievable story. Now I really can't believe that I did not know who Gene Kelly was when I met him. I was a writer on a television special about the Smithsonian Museum in Washington, D.C., and Gene came in as the host narrator, and everyone was talking about this incredible Gene Kelly, and frankly, I didn't know if it was a man or a woman. And they were all saying, well, there's the Singing in the Rain is to die for. I had no idea what that was. I was really a very nerdy Herman Melville scholar and American literature person. And so I spent my time in a library.
You weren't at the cinema. You weren't going to the cinema every Saturday afternoon.
I was not. and I now meet people, and that's all they did. And they went with their mothers, their grandmothers. They fell in love with Gene very early on. And so I spent an entire week with him not knowing he was famous. And we really bonded over language, over words, because my pet study in graduate school was etymology. It was word origins and poetry. And those happened to be Gene studies as well.
And he was 73. You were 26.
I was. And for the everybody's doing the math there at home, we were 46 and a half years apart, but I never noticed. And And people find that hard to believe, but I really, at one point, I asked him, he said he hated it when people on television would play old, that they would kind of creep across the stage. And so I asked him, I said, well, how would you play old? And he looked at me, I think he was about 80 at the time, and he said, how would I play old? And he was so young at heart and so vibrant and so far ahead of his time. I mean, everything he did was... You know, he's putting Jerry the Mouse in an animated figure and he's dancing. That's 1945. And we have that in the show. So you get to see this
remarkable thing.
Oh, that's an incredible,
that's a beautiful scene, actually. It's really lovely.
It's so fun.
And it's funny when you go on YouTube to look at Gene Kelly, like the hits that he has on YouTube, you know, those kind of iconic, like, yeah, Dancing with Jerry or the Singing in the Rain, millions and millions of hits.
Well, he's hot. He's really, I mean, the nice thing is that he's drop dead gorgeous and he's, you know, incredibly talented and I think seems very accessible. But you'll see that. And then there are things in the show that people have never seen. Henry Mancini, Gene's good friend, created a ballet for Gene in 1959 that has never been played live since it was in this television special. And it is really hot jazz and play on Peter Gunn. And Gene's dancing with some of the finest ballerinas in the world in this very jazzy, sexy number. So
We saw sort of a resurgence almost of, I suppose, the Gene Kelly era a couple of years ago with La La Land.
Right,
The Oscar winner and the huge, huge Hollywood hit. I mean, it was such a big movie and it was only out a couple of years ago. And when people started talking about this, oh, it's going to be singing and dancing and, you know, there was a sort of an element of, really? That's going to go down well now? And you had a little bit of input in La La Land. Tell me about that.
Well, it was great fun because the director, Damien Chazelle, I met him and he said he was doing this little dance film. And I said, well, you know, you should come over to my house. I have Gene's archives at the house. And he said, oh, I would love that. And I didn't hear from him for a while. And I thought, okay, maybe he's kind of forgotten about it. And then I got an email from him and he said, does your offer still stand to come? And I said, absolutely. Come on over. I'll cook dinner for you. And then I got an email. I said, would you mind if I bring somebody along? And I said, oh, no, that's fine. And he said, well, do you mind if I bring Ryan Gosling with me? And I was like, no, not Ryan. You know, whatever you do, don't bring Ryan Gosling to my house.
For dinner.
And then
what am I going to cook now?
Exactly. Yeah. And then he brought, he said, well, may I bring somebody else? And it was Emma Stone. And then he brought Mandy Moore, the choreographer. And it was this phenomenal evening. Ryan Gosling actually came with a 25-pound apple pie as a house gift and a quart of vanilla ice cream. And that does make a mark.
He's a good dinner party guest, isn't he?
He was a very good dinner party.
Was it a homemade apple pie?
It was from an Italian deli, but it was the size of a hat box, and it definitely was a memorable thing. Mm. But what was great was that they all went into the archives, and I have these extraordinary things like Gene's handwritten choreography for Singing in the Rain, and I'll be talking about that in the show because people don't know how that came to be. How did that number get on the screen? And I would come into the archives and then they'd be very, very serious. And then I'd go into the kitchen and cook dinner and come back. But in the meantime, they're in there. And Ryan said we were just absolutely geeking out in there. And interestingly, he saw Gene's handwritten note about jumping up on the lamppost and then he incorporated that in La La Land. So
it's amazing to think that choreography was written down. You know, I'm not a dancer, so I can't think like that. But obviously, Gene was seeing it in a completely different way to the rest of us. Like, I would have thought that he would have just jumped up on the lamppost and done it, but he wrote it down. He planned it.
Oh, it was all planned. Everything. Amazing. But it looks very effortless. And Gene said it was very difficult to make it look so easy.
Oh, but it looks like he flies up there.
Everything is written down. And he had sort of a shorthand, he was never trained technically in dance notation. So it was a shorthand he learned as a little boy going to traveling shows. But it's a very... you know, he even choreographed the puddles in Sing in the Rain. So those had to be cut out of the street. So he knew exactly where. A little screen ran in his head at night, and he'd sit in a chair and he could see the dance, and then he'd go in the next day and put it on the live dancers.
And he obviously told you all of this years after Singing in the Rain, because that's when, you know, you met him much later in life, and he told you all of this during your years together.
He had a remarkable memory. It was very interesting. I think because he was wearing so many hats, because he's directing, choreographing, and starring in the movie, he had to follow the budget, he had to follow the schedule, he had to really follow everything. And I think that's why, he wasn't like, a lot of the actors really elaborate and never tell the truth. I mean, the thing is, Gene had no reason to do that. And I think he really wanted to get the story down. So I was very lucky to get that. And people have no idea. And that's one of the things, when people come out of the show, they'll say, you know, I loved him before, but I love him even more now.
Did you dance together?
Everybody asks that. And, you know, it's interesting because Gene would never dance in public, because if he stood up, the entire room wanted to dance with him. So he'd always pretend he had a bad leg when we'd go out. And I thought, ugh. And I went to dance class to learn how to dance with him. And then we could never do it in public. But it all paid off one New Year's Eve. We had champagne and caviar, and we had Frank Sinatra on the radio and Nat King Cole, and we danced all around the house. It was probably the most romantic evening of... Gene was a true romantic. He was really... you know, it's interesting, everyone yesterday would have been our 29th anniversary.
Oh,
and
wow.
But also it was the moon landing, and Gene was really sorry that people walked on the moon. For him, it was an emblem of romance and courtship, and he really hated that they got out and tromped around on it. So he was the kind of guy who'd wake me up in the middle of the night just to go out and look at the full moon.
That's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, it was an extraordinary time.
And that's probably one of the best reasons I've heard for not walking on the moon, because it's so romantic. He was such a romantic. You shared a love of poetry as well. And again, going back to his Irish heritage, Yeats in particular.
Exactly. And I will share that in the concert. It was very funny because one of the things that he asked me first was about the opening lines to Yeats' poem, The Lake Isle of Innisfree. And fortunately, I knew those. And so that was a bonding. But he really did, when you're... it was something he had memorized, most of the poetry, and he really, it was part of his heart. I think it was part of his soul. It was really kind of embedded in him.
You say that, you know, all of this that you have, I suppose, his literature, his writing, his notes, everything, you know, that it's important to share it with people. What's next for it? I mean, you know, you're doing this now this weekend here in Dublin. Do you plan on doing more of this?
This show, Gene Kelly, A Life in Music, will tour around the world. I mean, essentially, I would love it if it went to every symphony orchestra around, because it shows the many, many dimensions of this man that people don't know, and they don't know the relationship to the music. They don't know, you know, what comes first, the dance or the music, and what were Gene's relations with Cole Porter and the Gershwins and Mancini and Andre Previn, and how did these dance numbers get up on that screen? And everybody coming out of the show will understand that. And I think it's really important that, because Gene is so, he's such an inspiration to so many people. I just saw Hugh Jackman on the 19th at the Bowl, Hollywood Bowl. He did two numbers, two tributes to Gene in the show. It just goes on and on. And, you know, you've got the Ryan Goslings and the...
It's a genre, I think, is it, that might be coming back, that people are more interested in. There's a lot of musical movies, you know, and do you think that it's something that is coming back after a bit of a hiatus?
I think so. I think dance is very big. I mean, you can turn on any television and he's on it, or some form of dance is on it. And I think the show just introduces younger people because there's no age. I mean, I have five-year-olds at the show and I have 105-year-olds at the show. And I have men and women. I mean, it's half and half. And the men love it because there's such an athleticism to Gene. And I have Gene roller skating, tap dancing on roller skates to the music of Andre Previn in this. I mean, this is, and to hear this orchestra play this music and to really focus on the music and to focus on how Gene incorporated the dance is I love it. I really.
It's going to be phenomenal. It's on Friday night. Gene Kelly, A Life in Music, alongside the RTÉ National Symphony Orchestra at the National Concert Hall on Friday. Patricia Ward-Kelly, lovely to meet you. And thank you so much for coming in this morning with the shillelagh.
Oh, thank you for having me. Yes, I never leave home without this.
No, of course, you shouldn't. We'll take a break.